This week, Marine Sergeant Jason Graybill got the ride of a lifetime in a vintage P-51 Mustang fighter. When the snub-nosed, jaunty plane rumbled to a stop on the tarmac of the Frederick Municipal Airport, about 50 miles north of Washington, D.C., Sergeant Graybill told his pilot, Chris Baranoskis.
Oh, that was great.
Great job.
That was fantastic. Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
That was too cool.
Sergeant Graybill loves history, and riding in that Mustang gave him a new appreciation for the young flyboys of World War II who dared the skies in those planes which now look so cramped and fragile.
That seat isn't as good a cushion as you probably would find on your local Holiday Inn for to lay your head on.
Yeah.
So for those guys to fly and fight for 8 hours took an incredible amount of endurance and stamina.
Sergeant Graybill is a wounded veteran. He was stationed at the Pentagon on September 11, 2001, and still struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder after bouts of alcoholism, depression, and other afflictions.
And I prefer to say you've had some rough years.
Yes, sir. Hadn't been easy, but you do what you have to do. There's plenty of guys out here that have done more than me.
Well, how are you doing now?
Hanging in. It's every day, day by day. This was a good day.
Well, that's why we're here, to get these guys a day that they can take their mind off of things and do something different and get out and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a great day.
Sergeant Graybill got his ride as part of the Wounded Warrior Project, an organization that helps veterans who've suffered wounds in service pick up their lives, with a range of programs, and some simple fun and entertainment like today. A small air corps has gathered on the airfield, both modern and vintage aircraft, including a World War II-era B-25 bomber that's been named Panchito, and that Mustang with glamorous gal airbrushed just behind the prop. We met three other wounded warriors, including Army Major Lisa Maddox, who's had multiple knee surgeries and got a ride in a 60s vintage Paris jet.
It's kind of a dream. I mean, I've always wanted to fly in a jet like this, so that's an amazing thing to be able to do. And you know, just being up in the air, it's kind of liberating. With the skill of these pilots and everything in their experience, it's pretty amazing.
Sergeant David Hatmaker served in both Afghanistan and Iraq before the vehicle in which he was riding ran over an improvised explosive device.
Got hurt out on a convoy, went out looking for IEDs, clearing the roads so other soldiers can come through without getting hurt. And we got hit, and my vehicle rolled over. I got my ankle halfway taken off. I was one of the lucky ones that actually made it out of the vehicle. The other guys didn't. And been dealing with that ever since.
How are you feeling now?
Feels good to come out and do something like this. It's nice to come out and be recognized for something that we did, and you know, be remembered for stuff that we did, not just for just being a soldier.
Yeah.
To what Miss Maddox said, liberating to be up there?
Put a big old smile on my face from ear to ear. The best part about it was when he was pulling, I think he said we pulled about 6 G's. Face felt like Play-Doh when he was doing it. Just felt like everything was just dragging down the feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he said about 5 or 6, something like that.
The IED that blew up airborne infantryman Neil Duncan's vehicle in Afghanistan in December 2005 broke his jaw, shattered many of his teeth, and sheared off both of his legs. As he sat on the grass at the edge of the tarmac, looking at sleek planes in the sky, his khaki shorts revealed artificial limbs that let him stand and walk.
It's amazing to see you getting around. How does it feel?
Great. Being independent's important, and that independence is, you know, is gained by a lot of work and a lot of rehab and a lot of opportunity. You know, I'd be nowhere without opportunity, and it's like the Wounded Warrior Project has provided that for me. It's the same group of people that early on brought me out to learn to ski again, and then, you know, go hiking and do these different activities that, you know, Wounded Warrior.
You've done Mount Kilimanjaro, right?
Mm-hmm.
While Wounded Warriors helps give wounded vets the strength to stand on their own 2 feet, it also surrounds men and women who've shared the closeness of life in the service, a community of people to share their struggles. Army, Navy, Air Force veterans become close friends across all lines of service.
And we never met before today.
That brotherhood that you feel that you get in the military, you feel amongst us now. I mean, you don't get that in the civilian world. You know, you can walk up, make a friend, you know, in the civilian world, forget his name, and he'll forget your name. You go in the military and you serve time with these guys, especially out in Iraq and Afghan, and you create a brotherhood or friendship that then a bond that stays with you for life.
We got to take a ride, too, and we're privileged to fly with a distinguished pilot.
Ice, that bogey's still behind you. I'm maneuvering for a shot.
Stay with him, Matt. Stay with him.
Not Tom Cruise. Someone who actually knows how to fly a plane. A lithe, athletic, silvery, retired Navy pilot who could look like Tom Cruise's taller, older brother and is a legend among airmen.
I'm Dale Snodgrass, retired Navy captain, and I am part of the Wounded Warrior flight team here and flying this MS-760 in support of the project.
And have you met Tom Cruise?
Actually, I have, yeah. I didn't really get to be too involved with the movie Top Gun, but I was the fighter pilot of the year that year, so it sort of became the snort here, the real guy kind of deal. So
yeah.
Anyway, it was fun.
What you are, the movie Top Gun aside, a legend in aviation circles.
Thank you.
What does this project mean to you?
It means a lot because, A, I'm a veteran, and when I'm flying with most of my friends that are flying with are all veterans. I'm an F-14 pilot. I have another Navy F-18 pilot, an F-16 pilot from the Air Force, and an F-15. And then we have our young JO,
junior officer,
who's flying the Mustang. So we treat him, he's the guy that has to go. He's our designated driver, et cetera. So, no, not really. But, I mean, he takes care of us. So we have a good time.
Yeah.
And but the project itself is something that we all had successful military careers, and we weren't hurt, but it's a way to sort of give back and put a sparkle in some of these wounded warriors' eyes. That's really what it's about, is to put a smile and a sparkle in the eye and give them a tremendous visceral experience that hopefully will, and you know, keep them, something they'll always look back and go, wow, that was cool.
We're supposed to fly with you, you know.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do?
We're going to be in a 6-ship flight.
Yeah.
We're going to be flying in close formation with the B-25. The B-25 is going to take off, then the Mustang will take off, then we'll do a formation takeoff with Jerry Kirby, my wingman. You're going to be flying next to airplanes that are about as close as we are right now.
Forgive me, you're going to have to beep this. That sounds fantastic.
So we're going to do that.
By the way, the flying name that Captain Snodgrass's fellow pilots hung on him during training is Snort. We can't really tell you why. But you're hearing the whine of an MS-760 Paris jet as it comes alive. Canopy open, wind blowing back from an Albatross bomber and the lumbering B-25 ahead of us in line for takeoff.
Potentiator, all aircraft are ready to go.
We fly in formation, old and modern aircraft, retired and active service people. Planes are close enough for a frog to leap across their wings, if we weren't flying so high and fast. Panchito, the old bomber, is a moving sight in the air. Hard to believe that not so long ago, 19 and 20-year-olds would crawl into a craft with such a thin skin, glassy gun turrets that look like they could be shattered by a baseball bat. We peel off.
Mustang 4, I'm going to take a spin to the right and try to get back behind Panchito.
Roger.
Neil Duncan looks above and below and snaps photos and shares stories with Snort. He pulls our jet up toward the clouds and rolls our plane over toward the right. We feel the force of several G's against our bodies while our eyes fill with amazing sights of the blue sky and green fields all around. When Captain Snodgrass brings our heavy jet in for a landing, his touch is so light and exacting, has all the force of a feather duvet flopping on a bed. The day in the sky, of course, is just a way of opening a window of hope for vets in the Wounded Warrior program. Spokesman John Sullivan hopes that the programs they have to assist veterans will drive down an alarming statistic. Over 300 service members committed suicide last year.
That's extraordinary.
So an event like this can help put people in touch with each other.
Absolutely. And that's a big part of Wounded Warrior Project. If you look at our logo, it's the iconic battlefield image of a warrior carrying his comrade off the battlefield. We envision Wounded Warrior Project, our organization, being the warrior on the bottom at first. When a warrior first gets injured, we're there to help them get back on their feet. But it's our mission to honor and empower wounded warriors. And eventually, it's our vision that the warrior on top becomes the warrior on the bottom. And that's what we hope to accomplish.
Our piece on the Wounded Warrior Project was produced by Ned Wharton and Gemma Waters with help from Jonathan Rappaport. You can see pictures of the vets in the vintage aircraft on our website, npr.org. And tomorrow on NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday, listen for a profile of Captain Juan Guerrero, competing for the decathlon in this weekend's Warrior Games for Wounded Service Members in Colorado Springs. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.